ladies and gentlemen. This is Smiles Lewis and Mac White, live from Austin, Texas. This is PSYOP Radio. Mac, are you with us?
I am right here.
Well, Mac, we're just getting started here, but it's been another week. What do you think?
There's been some interesting developments all over the place. The thing that I've been following most closely and had written a little bit about in my blog yesterday is this scandal, a sex scandal, that has broken. Actually, in about 2 months ago here in Texas, and it's just beginning to become a national story because the Attorney General Gonzalez and Karl Rove and other entities with the Bush administration have become implicated in the cover-up. And it's going to be really interesting to see what happens since this story has just begun to become a national story. There may be quite a number of people listening to this who aren't familiar with it. So just to briefly describe it, it is a scandal that has erupted in the Texas Youth Commission, which is the juvenile prison system, basically, for Texas. They have facilities all over the state. And what's been going on is that guards and administrators in the TYC have been sexually abusing the young inmates who range in age from 10 to 17 years old. And it is becoming bigger and bigger. And it came to light because about 2 years ago, a Texas Ranger by the name of Brzezinski was contacted by a teacher in the TY system out in at his facility near Odessa, Texas. And this teacher was filing a complaint that she believed that another teacher there was having sex with one of the inmates. And the Texas Ranger began to investigate and uncovered the fact that the Texas Youth Commission is infested with pedophiles. They've been doing all sorts of things, waking up these kids in the middle of the night and involving them in sex parties. And the Texas Ranger spent a good deal of time investigating this, and he documented his findings and was not able to get anyone to prosecute either on a local, state, or federal level. And it's the federal level where the Bush administration comes in.
So last week, it was the Washington Times reporting that superintendent of Texas Youth Commission facility was arrested Friday, latest in a series of problems for a system that has been plagued by complaints involving physical and sexual abuse and cover-up schemes by administrators. And they named Jerome Parsi, 53, superintendent of the intake center in Marlin, was arrested for purportedly covering up sexual assault accusations at the Central Texas facility. I have, where's the reference? I haven't read all of this stuff yet, but where's the reference to sex parties?
That is in a WorldNet Daily article.
And that seems
came out yesterday, Jerome Corsi.
And Corsi's known for his, Corsi's been writing for WorldNet Daily on a lot of issues, including enrichment and Iran, but more recently coming into the parapolitical community via his stuff
don't
on the Trans-Texas Corridor.
Yeah, but on this, his reporting is pretty much on target. He was on the Alex Jones Show yesterday discussing this issue. And, you know, what was going on amounts to a criminal conspiracy, racketeering, because what was happening was that so many pedophiles had been hired, and they were waiving the criminal background checks on a lot of these people. And they were hired, so many of them, and then they began a systematic hiring of other pedophiles. And at last count, something like 1,200 complaints are currently being investigated.
Actually, I think I saw an even higher figure just now. In the past 6 years, Youth Commission officials reported 6,652 abuse and neglect cases to law enforcement officials, including 39 sexual assaults. Only 18 cases were prosecuted. 6,634 of them were deemed not worthy of action. You just mentioned this sense that these abusers, these pedophiles, these wretched human filth, getting these jobs and then hiring more of their ilk.
Yeah.
And I flash back to the, I think it's a 2002 article. I don't have this in front of me. I should have grabbed this. But remember the Florida CPS scandal? It's still a scandal. Thousands missing and hundreds of known pedophiles employed by the system.
Good God. So
Jerome Corsi wrote for WorldNet Daily, "Your government at work, embattled AG, now accused in teen sex scandal cover-up, Attorney General Gonzalez among officials who allegedly ignored abuse of minor boys." This is really huge. I mean, it was bad enough. I mean, we had so many goods on Attorney General, I hate the Constitution, Alberto Gonzalez.
I support torture of children. Yeah, he sure does.
You know, it just occurred to me that his initials, Alberto Gonzalez, are Attorney General, AG.
Yeah, isn't that weird? But yes, he's the one who has been supporting torture of children and so many of the more horrifying things on the Bush agenda. And, you know, the evidence for a cover-up here is so clear and blatant that it's stunning. What happened was that Brzezinski was unable to get the Texas Attorney General Abbott to do anything about it, and so he went to the U.S. Attorney, and it happened that it was at election time recently when this prosecution was about to go forward, and it was stopped at the last minute, and a letter was written by an assistant in U.S. Attorney Jimmy Sutton's office, and the guy who wrote the letter is one Bill Bauman, I think is his name.
B-A-U-M-A-N-N.
And he justified dropping the case against the various guards and administrators in the TYC on the basis that there was no proof that any of these children were physically injured in these sexual encounters, and that the children may have actually enjoyed them, and that it was consensual.
This is outrageous.
That's a mind blower. You know, they arrest people for simply going to a website that turns out to be child porn. Are they? The other day there was a young guy about 20 years old here in this area who was arrested in a sting he had arranged on the on some chat room or message board to meet what he thought was a 14-year-old girl in some town around here somewhere, and it turned out that she was non-existent. He had actually been talking to a cop on the internet, and he was arrested. I mean, you know, it's pedophilia, and these are prison guards and officials.
I know sodomy has been illegal in Texas for a long time, and I think it may have recently been overturned.
I think it was, yeah.
But you know,
in any case,
it was,
they're underage, and these are prison officials doing this.
You're right. So in this WorldNet Daily article, Bowman's letter went so far as to suggest that the victims may have willingly participated in or even enjoyed the acts of pedophilia involved. Quote, "As you know, consent is frequently an issue in sexual assault cases. Although none of the victims admit that they consented to the sexual contact, none resisted or voiced any objection to the conduct. Several of the victims suggested that they were simply getting off on the school's school administrator. And then it says, Bowman's letter also rejected Brzezinski's charges that the administrators at the Texas Youth Commission facility in West Texas had used their position of authority to force the inmates to participate in the sexual acts, or that the administrators had lengthened the sentences of the boys to retain willing participants or punish those reluctant to participate. This is just insane. Of course, this comes on the heel of Alberto Gonzalez being in the spotlight because of the firing of 8 U.S. attorneys. For what is being viewed by a lot of people as
partisanism. And so now this comes out, and it comes out because Brzezinski was able to somehow get this into, I think, the Dallas Morning News. And once the Texas newspapers got a hold of it, then it was pushed out into the light of day. And now they're being forced, really, to investigate this matter. And as it becomes a bigger story, a national story involving the Bush administration, then I would think they're going to have to, you know, seriously investigate it. The other thing is that it's being alleged by this fellow, I forget his name, but he's the head of something called the Lone Star Project, mm-hmm. that all this was orchestrated by Karl Rove, and the motivation here was that because the prosecutions, had they gone forward, would have happened at election time, when the Republican governor here, Rick Perry, was facing a challenge from Carol Strayhorn and Kinky Friedman, that this would have been have put Perry at a disadvantage somehow.
You mentioned the Rove angle. The quote is, "This case demonstrates that a partisan political agenda with Karl Rove in an orchestrating role has penetrated the Justice Department," sorry for that, "and subverted fair-minded administration of the law," Matt Engel, director of the Lone Star Project, told WorldNet Daily.
But, you know, there's something about I really feel that the motive goes even deeper here. You know, it just seems like these pedophile scandals seem to follow the Republicans and the Bush family in particular, follow them around like flies would follow around a wagon of manure. This
yes.
is not the first time. There's the Franklin cover-up, of course. That was the biggest of these kinds of scandals before this one.
Right, where black Republican Larrabee, confused with the TV personality, was implicated in money laundering at the Nebraska, I believe it was either bank or credit union. He was being investigated by his Republican cronies because of reports of money laundering, and lo and behold, they discovered this whole seedy underbelly of alleged and apparent satanic ritual abuse of of children and
this, they were getting these boys from Boys Town in Nebraska, the place made famous in the Spencer Tracy movie years ago. Father Flanagan, his sort of an alternative to reform school for boys. So there's an interesting little parallel there. With this case, you have an institution that's supposed to be protecting and rehabilitating juvenile delinquents, and it's being used as a playground for these pedophile elites. And in the Franklin cover-up case, these congressional page boys were being used sexually by political characters. I've even read some research that indicates that what may have been going on there partly was a CIA blackmail ring, that they would have these big parties in Washington, and various members of the Congress or members of the media too would be at these parties, and they would be secretly videotaped.
Yeah, well, I mean, MK Ultra, the CIA's mind control experiments. One small aspect of that was working with prostitutes and mm-hmm. And setting up, surveillance-laden hotel rooms where they could bring their Johns back to. Of course, the Johns, in this case, that were usually people that they specifically hit as targets. But it could just as easily be used, you know, okay, let's go after these, as you're saying, politicos or media personalities. And there's some indications that that's really what's really behind the whole Watergate scandal, was that, that there was a brothel prostitution, blackmailing aspect mm-hmm. going on in that situation as well. Mm-hmm. And so they definitely have that reputation for doing, and that penchant for that kind of blackmail.
There is a precedent for this kind of activity. And so
I wanted to mention real quick, one of the first articles I read from was the Washington Times, which is, well, maybe I didn't read from it, but it's from March 24th or 25th, juvenile justice manager arrested, the Washington Times, and this is about the youth commissioner, yeah, actually I didn't read from this, where he was arrested, Jerome Parsi. But is the Times or the Post, the Mooney paper?
It's the Times.
Okay, well, here we go.
It was the Times that ran
the Pageboy scandal.
Exactly, yeah.
I've read somebody suggest that again, this could be infighting, that maybe, mm-hmm. The Reverend Moon or the Chinese government are basically blackmailing these guys through their media outlets. And I know of mm-hmm. other parapolitical researchers who liken themselves as the world's gift to PSYOP analysis, who think that any discussion of this kind of area, the pedophiles, the whole Jeff Gannon thing, is distraction, that's deliberate PSYOP on the part of these real perps to distract and discredit us conspiracy parapolitical researchers. But, I mean, you know, these things, you know, physical abuse is typically verifiable. I mean, mm-hmm. certainly there's a lot of, when it comes to the mass, what people perceive as the mass panic of alleged satanic ritual abuse, and the fact that, you know, the 200-plus convictions from the 80s were all overturned in the 90s that involved, you know, the accusations of children against their kindergarten teachers and whatnot. I mean, I know in talking to you, I've told you I've flip-flopped several times on my perspective on the whole satanic ritual abuse networks conspiracy idea.
It's a very murky area.
But I must say, you know, after I read the Franklin cover-up and after I researched, you know, these other things and the United Nations, you know, getting caught repeatedly in various countries and the and DynCorp being caught,
the Belgium scandal.
Human trafficking. I mean, it's massive.
It goes on. It happens.
You know, and here's the connection also back to these weird Texas connection and the whole Matamoros. You recall, you know, when I was I did a couple of shows with my friend mm-hmm. Paul Smith about the murders in Juarez, yeah, and along the border, and then the weird connections or possible connections to satanic ritual abuse cults and death cults mm-hmm. and pedophile rings, and I mean it does get pretty wild and crazy sounding, and I certainly, you know, hate to be slinging mud, but it's a lot of it sticks if you research it.
Absolutely, it does, and the Matamoros killings were in the headlines here in Texas in the 80s. I remember it. It was weird to pick up the paper in the morning and see the banner headline, Voodoo Priestess Still at Large, you know. But what was going on and what was being reported in the paper, in the mainstream media at that time, was that there was this drug smuggling operation across the border in Matamoros that had been operating for some time, and then this fellow came in, and I forget his name and exactly, but he was a mysterious character, and took over the operation and began to, and it was described by the mainstream media as mind control.
Right. It was cult type, you know,
using occult activities to mind control the members of the drug smuggling gang to, you know, a sort of bonding through you know, trauma-based ritual, really. And the ritualistic watching of a certain film, I think it was called The Believers, a horror movie that I think starred Martin Sheen. and it was used for mind control purposes, and this was explicitly stated in the investigations at the time. And the cult itself was a weird mix of Santeria. And other things, and a lot of horror movie watching. And they would kill people ritually, and there were a number of persons' bodies found dead and mutilated there on what became known as the Hell Ranch. And the whole thing might have gone on forever had not they made the apparent mistake of abducting a white American college student who was in Matamoros on spring break and taking him out to that ranch and killing him.
This makes me think of a couple of different things here. First of all, from the beginning of this discussion, I've wanted to say, wow, this sounds like an episode of the Blue Rose Report, that's where we focus on things from a kind of a Twin Peaks, David Lynchian perspective. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's not so much the pedophile thing, though. There's hints of it in it, but it's the whole prostitution of young girls going on, and then the drug dealing and the seedy underbelly and that sort of thing. But mm-hmm. That this show so far really has the ring of that. But the border, you know, this whole bringing up Matamoros and the weird interconnection between the Juarez murders, possibly, and serial killers who have traveled through and along Texas's highways and byways, and flashing to, it was your blog entry that alerted me to this aspect of what we're talking about, this weird connection with Bill Bowman.
Yes.
The ending paragraph of Corsi's article says, Bowman was the lead prosecutor in another controversial case, in a case eerily reminiscent of the controversial jailing of Border Patrol agents mm-hmm. Jose Compian and Ignacio Ramos, while the illegal alien drug smuggler they wounded went free. Texas Deputy Sheriff Gilmer Hernandez is imprisoned for a year for an altercation with illegal aliens. Where, in your description, you talk about him being nearly run over when he pulled over these what turned out to be illegal aliens in a traffic stop. And mm-hmm. they fled and tried to run him over, and he shot out their tire, and one of them got shot, or not even shot, I think.
The bullet ricocheted, and a fragment of the bullet injured the cheek of one of the illegal immigrants. And, well, that sort of thing happens all the time. Nothing's ever done to the police. And in this case, I feel that it was probably an appropriate action on the part of the cop.
Right. We don't like overreaction by the police, but, you know, they're out there to do a job, and these folks are breaking the law.
There are times when, and way too many times, when the cops do cross the line and use excessive force, but this was not one of them. And the Texas Rangers, once again, they enter the picture here, investigated the matter and cleared this deputy sheriff, Hernandez, from any wrongdoing. But then the Mexican government intervenes, and the Bush Justice Department decides to, as a result of that intervention by the Mexican government, decides to nail this guy to the wall.
Urged he get the maximum 7-year sentence.
And it was this Bowman character who was the lead prosecutor in that case and who urged the maximum sentence. They didn't get the maximum sentence for him. I think the maximum sentence for this would have been 7 years. He's currently doing 1 year in federal prison, but he's facing a multi-million dollar lawsuit from these illegal Mexican immigrants for violating their civil rights. What a joke. That seems to fit an agenda whereby what they're trying to do is to discourage law enforcement from doing anything about these illegal immigrants.
Yeah. Now, there definitely seems to be that kind of an agenda going on here. And again, I mean, I'm well aware that you know, our immigration policies need reforming, and that the way these immigrants, especially the legal ones, are often being treated is wrong. You know, they're being, you know, there's cases, legal and illegal, being detained here in camps here in Texas that are reminiscent of concentration camps.
And these are people, this concentration camp you're talking about, it's just right down the road from me. It's down in the facility in Taylor, Texas, where they've got people who are basically seeking political asylum. They've come from scary places like Somalia. They've been involved in some political matters there, and they've had to flee for fear of their lives. And they have, you know, these people shouldn't be kept in detention facilities. They should be given political asylum. What we don't need are these millions of illegal Mexican immigrants who are coming over here and taking American jobs and destroying our economy. Well, but, of course, the agenda is to create this North American Union.
Well, and also to foster the animosity that ends up coming out in some of our arguments, you know, against
but,
the
you know,
the
that's a good
immigration.
Point. And there's where you get into the psyops. Of how this thing is being spun and worked.
I find it incredibly ironic and disheartening. As much, I mean, I remember before I was as politically parapolitically aware as I consider myself now, where when I would, you know, hear the same kind of things that you and I are saying here about stealing jobs from Americans and whatnot, out of the mouths of the Republicans, who at the time I thought were the only evil in among the two-party system.
Yeah, I was there too. Yeah.
And, you know, I would say, well, you know, if that's the way they feel, let's go ahead and close the border and take down the Statue of Liberty and just say no more. Let's just do it. If you're going to, you know, be that hardcore about it, let's not be two-faced. And what I see now, and it is really strange, I mean, I consider myself a libertarian, but most hardcore libertarians, I mean, Ron Paul excluded, you know, think that, you know, there shouldn't be any border issues, that people should be able to travel freely, especially for economic interrelatedness and whatnot. And I like the idea of no borders as far as, you know, I want to be able to go wherever the hell I want to. But, you know, there are finite resources. There are, you know, delicate balances that have, you know, exist in different countries that are related to their job markets. And I think this issue is being manipulated, like you're saying, in a psyop to make a lot of parapolitical and conspiracy-oriented folks come out looking to the liberals like, you know, oh, they're the radical right. They're the people who oppose, you know, these nice immigrants who just want to, you know, make their family, you know, live a little
better.
Yeah,
to portray this as a racist or xenophobic issue.
You know, I just posted last week at anomalytv.com a link to the video of did you see the thing about Mel Gibson telling this woman
yes, I did.
To F off?
Yes.
you know, I it's one of those, again, this situation where I feel for, you know, cultures that feel they're being portrayed inaccurately, and that their portrayal is being used as some other agenda that's fomenting racism. And granted, you know, I don't know that much about Mayan stuff, and you know, but at the same time, I know the woman who worked on the translations for the dialogue in the movie, and she's a Mayan scholar,
and she's the one that Alex Jones interviewed.
She's the one that Alex interviewed when
and
the
she's
first
come
attacks.
Out in defense of this Apocalypto film of
right. Well, you know, I posted that article up on anomalytv.com, and I've gotten more responses. I mean, it's not a whole bunch, but it's more than any other article that or video I've posted there. And of course, most of the comments are against this lady for you know, disrupting Mel Gibson's talk and video showing and whatever. And again, you know, one of the posts actually is in support of her and makes a nice cogent argument. But anyway, I just found it, again, really interesting that there's, you know, here this is a very polarizing issue. It's often being played as a racial issue, and I don't know if that's really what's going on here. But it does, for me, it's like, you know, I get kind of incensed when these folks start defending, seemingly, this human blood sacrifice, you know. and trying to rationalize it as being reverent and noble somehow. And
oh, yeah, I've got a big problem with that.
That really scares me.
Yeah.
Especially when a certain percentage of those people are being funded to think that, you know, they're the mythical god race and that they need to take back the desert Southwest.
When you're when it becomes a politically correct pose or attitude to take that, well, we must try to understand this culture, that they weren't sacrificing these virgins out of any kind of, you know, for any prurient reason. It was a spiritual, oh boy, that's going down a scary road. And once again, we've come back to the topic of ritual sacrifice, as occurred in Matamoros and as it's alleged to occur at places like Bohemian Grove, and sex slavery and, you know, ugly matters of it's something that doesn't appear to go away. It seems to be a something that's not that didn't happen back in history many hundreds of years ago or thousands. It's still being practiced, just as there's a misimpression that among people, that a lot of people, that slavery is over and done with. Slavery, sex slavery, to be specific, is very widespread. And we hear about the Dine Corps matter.
Getting caught shipping thousands of women and children.
The Mexican immigration, or illegal Mexican immigration problem, has resulted in a sex slavery problem here.
Yeah.
In the U.S., there has been an increasing number of incidences of women from Mexico who are brought up here under conditions that amount to slavery, and they are used in these brothels that are set up here, where their function is to service the men, the illegal Mexican alien men who are up here working, and that's their clientele. And once in a while, these places get busted. It's happened here in Austin. It's happening all over the place. So it's very real, and it's one of the nice things that is being imported across the border from Mexico.
Well, and I want people to know, personally, I'm one of those people who thinks that a woman or a man should be able to sell themselves in whatever way they like, as long as it's not against their will. That can get pretty complicated, but I'm libertarian enough to think that, you know, if they're not hurting anybody and they want to be a prostitute or a call girl or a gigolo or whatever, that's their business.
I think prostitution should be, you know, legal. I don't think prostitution is nice or good or whatever, but it's inevitable.
Sex work is just a part of human existence.
It appears to be, I think a lot of times the attempt to keep it illegal and to punish it and so forth results in some terrible abuses of the law, shakedown operations by the cops.
Right.
It's just a better situation if it's legal. But we're talking about, of course, non-consenting adults.
Right, and there's plenty of examples, of lesser organizations than somebody as illustrious as Dine Corps or as monolithic and multinational as Dine Corps. Who are, as you say, often tricking women into thinking that they're moving to a better life in America, and lo and behold, they get here and they're basically indentured servants or worse, and often suffering from physical and psychological abuse. A woman who's not interested in doing sex work, who's being forced into it, that's as bad as what we were talking about earlier with the Youth Commission, you know, these young kids being, you know, forced to commit these acts. And
it wouldn't surprise me if these TYC facilities weren't being used not just to satisfy the perverted urges of the guards and administrators and officials within the agency itself, but certain elites, powerful persons outside the agency, as a sort of brothel.
Again, with Cheney and Rumsfeld and the Abu Ghraib Iraq torture, there's this clear history of these people basically creating a climate where this is going to happen and where it's encouraged, and it becomes systemic to the to this overall organizational structure. It seems. I think we've kind of talked this subject to death, perhaps. But what other things are on your mind? I noticed the illegal immigrant suing Texas cop for millions article that was linked to off of articles about Bill Bowman, you know, pushing for that fellow's maximum sentence. I also found on that same website smallgovtimes.com, which is, I guess, ostensibly a is supposed to be a limited government site, though I think it's more conservative in the more modern sense, which means liberal. Mm-hmm. But there's a headline, FBI chief grilled by Congress over collected data, and I love this headline, or rather one of the first quotes is, "The question emerging is whether the FBI is up to the enormous task that we have asked it to perform. Every time we turn around, there is another serious failure on the part of the Bureau." That may not fit into our PSYOP discussion, but I just liked that headline, and it was something I found on the trail of looking into the Jerome Corsi's article on the Texas Youth Commission. I think last week we talked about Rosie O'Donnell going public more and more with 9/11 Truth, and she's even been invoking the Gulf of Tonkin example on her blog, which is probably a really good way for her to go. And this is all happening. Is this a PSYOP? I mean, she's going public at the same time that a Gulf of Tonkin-like event seems to be developing in Iran with the British troops being captured by the Iranians.
That she discussed this on her program, The View, and there was even a transcript of the exchange that I read today where she's discussing it with the other regulars that are on that program, and came right out and said it on network television that this business about these British soldiers being captured or something or other, that was a story that I kind of came under my radar. But anyway, she was comparing it to a Gulf of Tonkin type hoax.
Wow.
And of course, she gets into more detail on her blog where she really gets into 9/11 matters and so forth. But I keep wondering, you know, how is this happening?
Right, right. When is somebody gonna shut her up? I think last time I mentioned the weird conjunction of South Park, and their hatred of her and Barbara Streisand and Streisand's husband, who was first to come out pro 9/11 inquiry on The View with Rosie and Walters in tow there. I hadn't seen the transcript that you referred to, but I don't doubt it at this point. It seems to be moving forward pretty quickly. And again, the mainstream media seem to slowly be catching on to it and starting to report on it, and of course ridiculing all the while, and the hit pieces by the O'Reillys and
Hannity
and Combs and all
that. And
this.
Some gossip columnist wrote a piece. I don't see too many other mainstream writers other than the Fox News variety, those commentators. O'Reilly, it sounded like he was threatening Charlie Sheen if he... continue.
If you narrate this documentary, you'll pay.
Which is interestingly being produced by this billionaire, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, Mark Cuban.
Yeah, That was another one of those things that just slipped in there. I was like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
And again, I'm open to the idea that maybe this is somehow part of the 9/11 schemers, you know, ultimate plan of, you know, dividing the country and getting, you know, the neocon supporting Kool-Aid drinking nut jobs to appear as the nut jobs they are to the 9/11 truthers, who will appear as nut jobs to the neocon Kool-Aid drinkers. And,
yeah, well, if we compare the neocons to the Third Reich, you know, and I have often done that myself, I call them the Fourth Reich, you know, then we might as well take the comparison all the way. There is a great body of research that presents a good argument, I think, for the fact that the Nazis didn't come out of nowhere. And it is a fact that the Third Reich was largely funded by money from the globalists, some of the same players now, the Rockefeller Syndicate, Rothschilds, and so forth, and international bankers, and that it was created, that Hitler and his gang were created for the purpose of eventually, you know, creating this threat out there. You know, problem, reaction, solution. They had not been successful in getting the League of Nations that they wanted after in the aftermath of World War I. And so they create the Nazi menace. And, well, you know, that demonstrates to the world there that we need, well, a few things. One of them being a state of Israel, you know, to compensate the Jews for the terrible Holocaust, to, you know, so it gave the Zionist movement the impetus that it needed. But also, it finally convinced the world that we needed the United Nations, and we needed also to set up this national security state apparatus here with the CIA and the military-industrial complex, you know.
Right. Well, they transplanted the Third Reich and evolved them into, as you say, the Fourth Reich. They just moved them over to the new.
And that's the other thing, is that, you know, we have to remember that Prescott Bush, the president's grandfather, was instrumental in the Third Reich. And so, you know, and of course the CIA was largely a it replaced the old OSS, the Office of Strategic Services, but they at its founding it incorporated the Gehlen spy ring of Germany.
Right.
And of course all the Nazis brought over
the rocket scientists,
yeah,
that created NASA, with NASA Nazi.
Absolutely. And so, you know, now then we take that as a template for trying to understand what's going on now with this Hitler-esque administration we've got in the White House right now. That is it possible that all of this from 9/11 and so forth, that these characters have been, you know, and they are criminally insane, Bush, Cheney, and so forth, but just like Hitler and his henchmen were. But have they been manipulated, created,
right,
put in their positions of power that they're in, just like Hitler was, in order to self-destruct so that things would get so bad in this country, with the loss of freedoms and so forth, like we have never seen in the
history
of
the United States. We'll call out for help.
Please
save us, United Nations blue-helmeted folks.
Yeah, we will beg them to come and save us and to institute a new world order.
So you mentioned earlier the financiers behind these different wars in history, and I was just looking at the headline from, of course, Prison Planet Today, Paul Joseph Watson's ominous signs suggest Iran war close. Seizure of British Marines could be Gulf of Tonkin, long yearned for by warmongers. Interestingly enough, in my day job, I came across a book that I hadn't heard of before called Warmongers from 1979 by Howard S. Katz. And the annotation for this book is, the book re-examines history and discovers a link between the creation of paper money and major wars. Detailed facts expose a fascinating and frightening intrigue in which bankers, big business, and government create wars to increase their power and wealth. Duh!
What's the title of that book?
Warmongers, which, again, that's the last word in the subheading for the Paul Joseph Watson's ominous signs suggest Iran war close. You know, I heard just a snippet of Alex's AM Sunday show this past Sunday with Webster Tarpley on as a guest, and Tarpley was quoting some Russian sources that are supposedly connected to the military who are basically saying that the plan is to attack Iran, to do bombing runs. I guess it's coming up here on this next Friday, April 4th. At like 4 a.m. or something, and while Alex was quick to say, well, you know, we hear quote these seemingly detailed, you know, deadlines for these kind of events all the time, and don't want to lend any more credence to other to anyone than any other, but Tarpley was pretty firm saying, you know, these sources, being that they're foreign and supposedly connected to the Russian military, might have some more information than the others, but again, there's some other parapolitical analysis corners that are saying and have said all along that Iran isn't the real rogue nation that we're being psyoped into thinking it is.
Right.
That they're actually just that he's playing that the Ahmadinejad or the head guy is basically the puppet of the West, and that he's doing all of this to lead to the stage managed conflict that's coming.
In the same sense that Saddam Hussein was to put some, into power.
To some greater or lesser degree, yeah.
Yeah.
Man. Well, there's some other... remember last week, I'm not sure if I mentioned it on this show or not. Did I mention the synchronicity with... this UFO guy's news release about Sheikh, the billionaire Gulf playboy Sheikh Khalid Mohammed investigating UFO researcher Kevin Randall? Did I mention that on this show? I think I did, but I'm not sure anymore.
Well, there was if it's what I'm thinking, there was. I'm not sure. I can't remember.
Well, basically, on March 13th, this guy, whose initials are KKK, Cal K. Korf, who is just one of many characters in the UFO field, he posted a press release basically saying, Gulf millionaire playboy Sheikh Khalid Mohammed to investigate UFO researcher Kevin Randall, or words to that effect. And I found that link on anomalist.com, which is one of my favorite paranormal news headline sites. Some good friends of mine and supporters of Anomaly Radio. And I posted, I thought this was really weird because he posted this on March 13th. And then 2 days later, all the news wires are afire with, you know, news of Sheikh Khalid Mohammed's quote-unquote confession to everything from 9/11 to Abraham Lincoln's assassination. And, well, so I posted on anomalytv.com, you know, is this an early April Fool's joke or a weird, just a simple synchronicity coincidence? Well, apparently, as is this guy's... typical practice, he went forward with another news release alleging that the anomalist, quote-unquote, confuses their sheikhs inexcusably and takes them to task for, you know, suggesting that it was this Sheikh Khalid Mohammed. Well, they didn't do anything other than quote his news release. And I think he's confusing my website for their website.
Oh.
and you know... It was me who wasn't confusing. I mean, I was deliberately playing up the fact that, hey, what a weird coincidence. I mean, is this an early April Fool's joke? You know, here it is. It's not even, it's barely the end of March, and Anyway, I just thought that was really strange. And earlier we mentioned the whole the cult aspects of the Matamoros thing, and as I mentioned to you off air, March 22nd, I believe, marked the 10-year anniversary of the Heaven's Gate UFO cult suicide.
Yeah.
And my favorite UFO researcher, Jacques Vallée, has for years been warning about them and other groups and the rise of the internet and how it can and technology can be used to influence cults. And you mentioned the Matamoros cults being subjected to horror movies. Well, he's reported on Canadian cult, the Order of the Solar Temple, which had not a mass suicide, but an attempted mass suicide.
That's right, yeah.
Across the Pacific or Atlantic Ocean in the form of attempted suicides and suicides in France and in Canada back several years ago. And I just find all that fascinating because he alleged, and I've never seen this proven, but that this group of, you know, technically savvy, you know, these were businessmen who were, you know, pretty intelligent, were duped into believing in this hyperdimensional spirit world of this occult group by way of holograms and other technological techniques.
Shades of Project Blue Beam.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, have we ever discussed the Henry Lee Lucas connection to Matamoros?
I've discussed that on Robert Larson's show, Out the Rabbit Hole. That's what I was alluding to earlier about the, my appearance with Paul Smith, who wrote a play about the Juarez murders. And I've collected a bunch of data online at wiki.anomalytv.com that's all on the Juarez murders. But in there, I put a bunch of the connections to Henry Lee Lucas, who has talked about being part of the cult of the Black Hand.
That's right.
I forget the details.
And our friend Adam Gorightly,
yes,
did some interesting research on that and, you know, pointed out, isn't it interesting that Henry Lee Lucas was the only convict on death row that George Bush, as governor, ever pardoned. Or not, it didn't pardon, but commuted the death sentence.
Yeah, that's compassionate conservatism right there.
Yeah. There's an allegation, and I don't know if it really can be credited. It came from the late Sherman Skolnick, I think, who wasn't always reliable, but who could say some things once in a while that were, you know, interesting, that George W. Bush was residing in Brownsville, that Brownsville Matamoros area, at the time that those that the Hell Ranch story broke. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. But,
well, on that wiki page I mentioned that I collected all that data on, I made links to the wackiest claim, which you might recall involves Brownsville and the Bushes, and that was that they were part of some really weird cult out there. Now, I've seen elsewhere on the web people allege that that particular article was written as a spoof and satire, you know, like an Onion newspaper story or something. And I could see that as being likely true, but it's weird when it suddenly fits all this other information that seems to suggest, again, that family of all families seems to have some really nasty, dark roots. I mean, at the very least, you know, their ancestor being part of Skull and Bones and supposedly stealing Geronimo's skull from the Native Americans and it residing supposedly to this day in the halls of the Yale Skull and Bones secret society.
The Skull and Bones thing by itself should raise a few eyebrows. And Webster Tarpley and Anton Chaykin's book, The Unauthorized Biography of George Bush, they devote a considerable bit of time to allegations that George Bush, the previous one, the father, the senior Bush, was seen at certain pedophile-type parties in Washington. So these kinds of allegations just tend to come up with these people all the time, and occasionally scandals erupt, as with the Franklin cover-up, and then oh, there was this, I forget his name now, there's been so many of these, the congressman who was discovered dallying with the congressional pages, I think over the past year.
Oh, yeah, just a few months ago.
Yeah, and now this.
And he was the head of the, I think he was the head of the, you know, Protection for Children Federal
yes,
Committee.
That's right.
That's not the real name of it, but that's basically the gist.
Yeah.
We're getting close to the top of the hour here, and we probably want to start wrapping things up. You mentioned George Bush Sr.'s being seen in these supposed alleged pedophile context, and I flashed on this picture. There's a photograph that one of my favorite bloggers, Jeff Wells, who does Rigorous Intuition. I've mentioned him on here before. He's actually taking a break for about a month. He's in the midst of writing his new book. You may know Trinday Press, Trinday.com, TRINEDAY.com. They're publishing his book, Rigorous Intuition, What You Don't Know Can't Hurt Them. That's a collection of his blog writings from the past post 9/11 era, as well as unpublished material, and he's an amazing whiz with Photoshop and combining really great images and making these beautiful parapolitical montages. Well, one that he didn't create, that's an actual photograph, seemingly, is of Bush Senior and Barbara in bed with their kids in the White House during their administration, and sitting conspicuously in Mr. Bush's lap.
Right over his crotch.
Right over his crotch is, I believe, a purple pyramid.
It's a little, it's a miniature pyramid.
It's like, what the hell is that? And why is it? At once it's a serene, oh, how cute kind of a picture, but then it's like, what the hell? And I can't let this go. I didn't mention this last show, but in case folks don't know, there's some things going down with the copyright legislation and law right now that people should look into. The New York Times, back on March 19th, did an article called "A Fee Per Song Can Ruin Us, Internet Radio Companies Say," by Robert Levine. There's been a recent ruling that's going to affect a lot of small webcasters like ourselves that could really kill us. And I would encourage folks out there to go and get involved and find out more about this. Go to places like Save the Net, Save Web Radio, Webcasters Unite. Just Google RIAA and small webcasters, and you'll find out a load of information about this. But basically, it will put most small independent webcasters out of business, and largely due to royalties that the artists will never see.
And that's the point, evidently.
I suspect it's
stifle
free speech.
There is great concern about this alternative media that we've got here. And they're going to try to shut it down.
I think so. Well, Mac, it's been great. Let's give out our information. You can go to macwhite.com.
That's MackWhite.com. And it'll take you to the link to my blog. And to you'll find all sorts of things there, the comic strip Operation Northwoods, and the comic strip on the John Lennon assassination by the CIA, in my opinion, and not just my opinion. John Lennon's son, Sean Lennon, has said the same thing. It's all presented in comic strip form, and it's a good link to send people who doubt that conspiracy theory might be conspiracy fact.
And you can go to psyopradio.com and find links to past episodes of this web radio show, Psyop Radio, and I would encourage you to do that. And I just would like to say thanks for listening, and thank you, Mac, for doing this again.
It's been a lot of fun, I'll tell you, and we look forward to seeing what's going to happen next week. But, you know, I got to say, I'm very encouraged by the fact that this conspiracy in the TYC, the Texas Youth Commission, is being investigated. We still have a shot at uncovering these kinds of activities. And that's what's really exciting right now. And the 9/11 truth battle appears to have been won. We just got to keep moving forward and fight some of these other battles to win the war.
All right. Thanks again, everybody. This has been PsyOp Radio, Mac White, hosts, and myself, Miles Lewis. You can go to anomalyradio.com and psyopradio.podomatic.com and several other websites. Thanks for joining us.
Good night.
Good night.